just a little bit here. I want you to go with me to the book of Romans, if you will, please. There in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we're going to see an amazing and a powerful premise that has been set forth by the Apostle Paul. What an intellect as well as a heart for God in the Apostle Paul. But he was laying out a premise that really strikes home for all of God's children. I want you to see in verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. And our Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for her pastor. And we thank you, Lord, for the many times it's been our privilege to be behind this pulpit. And now one more time. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll use us tonight to be a blessing in this part of the service and as the church conducts business in a little bit. And I pray for wisdom and grace and power. I pray even now that you would fill this place with your presence, binding away any force or power of darkness. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us. Oh, what matchless wonder is there at that cross and there in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for the day you saved us. And Lord, you introduced us to your mercies right there at the cross. And then we've been nothing but just experiencing your mercies over and over again every day of our lives. And we pray tonight that we'll experience your mercies over our hearts, in our hearts, in our thinking, that you'll rule over all and that you'll speak to us tonight. I pray for help now to preach. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. This powerful premise that the Apostle Paul has set forth, it's fascinating to me. He uses the word beseech, okay? And he's the Apostle Paul. He could have said, I command you easily, or I charge you. He could have said any number of things along that line, but he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, okay, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And he said, I beseech, and that the word behind the word, and I'm sure this is a review for this church, because I know your pastor, and I know that I know you've been through the book of Romans probably more than once, but here in chapter 12, I just believe it's something that the Lord would have us to look at. And it is that word beseech is made up of two words, and one is the word para, which means alongside, okay? And the other word is call. And so it's to call and it's alongside. And what he's saying is, I'm calling you alongside, or I'm coming alongside of you to call you to this, okay, beseeching you. And J.P. McBeth, he used to teach at Criswell Seminary, this is what he said. Of course, many of you may know this, but that word parakaleo is the word for the Holy Spirit, okay, the paraclete. You're familiar with that word, perhaps. Uh, And we're talking about it's the word for the comforter. The comforter, that's the word behind it, parakaleo. But now Paul is saying, I'm coming alongside of you to ask you. And Macbeth said this, it carries the idea of a brother who lovingly and pleadingly goes up by the side of another brother and places his arm around the brother and around the brother's shoulders to comfort, to bless, or to plead with that brother. Isn't that precious? That's the way the Apostle Paul was addressing the saints at Rome in this premise, powerful premise that he lays forth. And he's using that mild word as a brother in Christ. And I need to remind you, and I want you to keep it in front of your mind, he could have not just urged them, not just beseeched them, but he could have told them what they must do. He used that word, therefore, one thing connected with another thing. And when he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I'm sure that a number of you could have quoted that by memory. But listen, this word, therefore, you need to understand the significance of it. It goes all the way back through the 11 chapters up to this point of the book of Romans, the greatest theological treatise, if you will, on the gospel that's ever been penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But it reaches back over the teachings of the gospel in chapters 1 through 11. When I talk about the teachings of the gospel, let me just refresh your memory just very, very quickly here. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If that's not grace, I don't know what is. If that's not one of the mercies of God, I don't know what is. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And much more than being now justified, counted righteous before God by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Amen. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Okay, and he's interceding for us at the right hand of the Father on top of that. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? For Christ is the end of the law, the fulfillment of the law, the stopping place, for the charges of the law against us. Now, don't get me wrong, the law is written by God on the tables of our hearts when we get born again. Amen? It's even closer to us than when Moses had the tablets in that form. But now Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. That's not how you're made. It never was God's intention that man try to pull himself up by his own bootstraps and make himself right with God by any good thing that he thinks he could do, and certainly not in fulfilling the law, for by the law is the knowledge of sin, Paul said in another place in Romans earlier. And listen, the law in Galatians, our schoolmaster, to lead us to the cross, to Christ. Amen. That we must have Christ. Water baptism won't work. If we're to be saved, it's not water baptism. It's not church membership. It's not having kept all the outward commandments and whatnot. Because whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. Said James, the Lord's half brother. And I want us to see this. Well, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Amen. I'll tell you what, I never was so surprised in all my life, Brother Greg. That's what the Lord wanted all that time, was to get me to the end of myself and to give up on my self-righteousness and my supposed thoughts of somehow meriting salvation, and admit that I was nothing but a dirty, rotten, low-down, no-good sinner. And once he got me there, he said, good. Now, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Amen. Thank God for a wonderful Savior. Well, all of those truths in Romans, he said, I beseech you, therefore, on that basis, it is salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, through in Christ alone. Amen. That's really true. When he said, brethren, that's an interesting word too. He addressed them as brethren. What he's saying is, and that word for brethren there is born of the same womb. What's that? We're talking about having a common birth. And that is, it's uncommon, it's supernatural, but it's common to believers. We were born again, that was at the foot of the cross by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Amen. And we glory in that. Whenever the Lord talked about the new birth in John chapter 3, he's telling Nicodemus, he said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. He's using an illustration that we all understand. I can even remember singing back in grade school. I guess my little childlike mind, I got it. That's really strange. You can hear the sound of the wind. You can see the trees bending, the effects of the wind, but you can't see the wind itself. Well, the Lord said that's just like the Holy Spirit and his work. Amen. And what he does in the salvation of a sinner, bringing that person and birthing them into the family of God, it is a case of us being convicted by the Holy Spirit, awakened by the Holy Spirit. Boy, I was in bad shape. I was like Jonah down in the hold of the ship. Amen. They had to shake me violently just about. God had to get a hold of me because I was just determined. If anybody's going to make it, I am. All right. Yeah. Good enough or made themselves righteous enough, it's me. And I was religious, fundamental Christian religion I'm talking about, okay? Bible believing, all right? But you can believe all about the Bible and die and go to hell. The truth is, this day we would be horrified to know how many Baptists went from the church pew to just a few hours later, died and burning in hell because they never had repented of their sin and gave up before God and admitted he was right and they were wrong and they needed Christ more than anything else. They had no righteousness of their own. And we're talking about a birth from above. But the way that all starts and the way it's carried on and the way there's things behind the scene we can't see, and it's the blessed work of the Holy Spirit. And he said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I still remember that little song I started to tell you about. Who has seen the wind? Neither you nor I. But when the trees bow down their head, the wind is passing by. Okay? Well, when folks get born again, you can mark it down. The Holy Spirit's doing a work, amen, in that heart. It takes his working to bring them to that place where they come to the end of themselves. The saints of God can all agree about this, that we have certainly known that to be the case, how that God convicted and awakened us, and we were drawn by the Holy Spirit. And you know, as I studied that passage in John chapter 6, with no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, okay? And then just a few verses down, he said, they shall all be taught of God. It's the teaching process of the Holy Spirit working on that heart, giving you an education you can't get in seminary or anywhere else. Amen. I'm talking about when he begins to educate you, he begins to show you what you didn't want to see and make you believe it. Amen. I'm not saying he forces you. I'll leave that for the theologians. But I'm just telling you that he sure does help you, though. Amen. He works on a person and teaches by God's Spirit, teaches that person to come to the place of repentance, to believe the gospel, to repent and to believe the gospel personally, just like Paul himself had. Amen. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Oh, yeah, brethren. Oh, I mean, born of the same womb, the womb of God, you might say. It's just hard to, we're talking about a birth from heaven. I beseech you, what is the foundation of his premise? By the mercies of God. All right, we've already hinted at that and dealt with it a little bit, but that's the foundation for the rest of what he says in verses 1 and 2 and for everything in Romans 1 through 11 prior to that. The mercies of God, and it's plural, isn't it? The mercies of God. I mean, it is salvation and everything after salvation. It's the gospel and our experience of the gospel and everything that's been in our Christian life since God saved us. Our lives as God's children. It's his mercies, many mercies, multiplied mercies, manifold mercies, if you will. And first of all, like I said, revealed my sin and my helplessness, and then the blood atonement of Christ and his substitutionary death and the forgiveness of sin, not just as a doctrine, but as a reality. Amen. You've heard me say it before, but I'll say it again. The thing that nailed my hide to the wall as a religious sinner, I mean, I was good and I was getting better. If you're supposed to do it, I did it as a fundamental Christian, all right? But God said that won't save you. And then I heard these Korean Christians talk about, but when did you come to know the forgiveness of sins? Yes. Well, we're talking about God letting you know you were forgiven for Christ's sake. Amen. Not just black ink on white paper, though that's the means many times that he uses, or not just the words from the pulpit or from a witness, though certainly he uses those, but ultimately it is the knowledge inwardly that Jesus Christ is all I need. He's everything. And he's already done the work for me. And the forgiveness of sin becomes a reality, and eternal security and glorification and being with him in heaven and all of that, everything that's ours, the mercies of God. And then every mercy we experience every day by the knowledge and the experience of God's saving mercies and then the ongoing mercies in our life, every breath we draw, every drink of water we take, every day that we're allowed still to live on this earth. And multiplied mercies. Listen, for someone who's a real believer, who's experienced the grace of God, it's enough to move That's Paul's premise. That's the foundation of it. That's enough to move a real believer to embrace and to fully comply with what God has called him to through the Apostle Paul, being beseeched as Brother Paul. Amen. Somebody might look at that when they first read their Bible and say, oh, seems like God's asking a whole lot there. I mean, what is a whole lot? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. And boy, if they understood, and if we understand what that really means, we're talking about our ears, our eyes, our brain, our hands, our feet. But more than that, we're talking about every part of you that makes up you. I mean, inside and outside, your whole spirit, soul, and body. You, all right? The whole of you, your whole being, your whole life, his, doesn't belong to you anymore. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you're bought with a price. And therefore, it only makes sense, and we're definitely called to glorify God in our body, and not just our body and our outward things, but in our spirit. Yeah. Amen. Boy, if I was one of those 33 and a third RPM records, like some of you older folks remember. Of course, not me. I just read about them. Yeah. Yeah. But I'd get stuck right there. I would just get stuck right there. We're talking about glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen. Our whole attitude and all that we are inside, mind, emotions, and will. Well, I mean, that just seems like a whole lot. But no, it is very reasonable to one who's been saved by the grace of God. And, that just entirely opens that up as a not only acceptable, but even a welcome reality to the child of God. I have a hard time with those that have a hard time with Paul's premise. Amen. I'm afraid for them. I really am. And I'm as the kids say today, I'm just saying. Amen. Well, am I talking to you? Some of you are younger, and you've got families of your own, and you say that, all right? I'm just saying anyway. Amen. Okay. And Paul is just saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, all right, and part of your spiritual worship as well. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, with that, I'm going to close my part of the message anyway, as far as the preaching of the word goes tonight. And